that the Christ who was slain on that cross has the power to change lives today. For he changed me completely, a new life is mine, that is why by the cross I will stay. I believe
Heavenly Father, we thank you again for being here to worship you. We pray that we would do that, bring you honor, praise, and glory, that your name would be lifted up, your word would be revered, and you would speak to our hearts and teach us. In Jesus' name, amen. One day, all those who have believed in Jesus Christ will hear the sound of a trumpet, the trumpet call of God. 1 Thessalonians 4:16 tells us that the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God. And whether alive or dead in this earthly body, that trumpet call will signal the culmination of our total and complete victory in Jesus Christ. It will not matter whether you are sitting in church, driving your car down the road, in front of the television, at the ballpark watching the grandkids, on your tractor, or resting comfortably over at the cemetery on the north end of Colchester in lot number 233. You will hear that trumpet. You will be resurrected. You will be instantly, forever changed. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 50, I tell you this, brothers, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall all be changed. For this perishable body must put on the imperishable, and this mortal body must put on immortality. When the perishable puts on the imperishable, and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? This is what will happen when that trumpet sounds. When the trumpet sounds, We shall all be changed, old to new, in an instant. And in that precise moment, which the Bible calls the twinkling of an eye, we become immortal. We will see Christ, and as soon as we see him, we will instantly be like him in our new creation bodies that God himself has chosen for us. If you were dead in the ground at this time, if you were over on the north part of Colchester in lot number 233, your old body will have been like a seed that had been planted waiting for your resurrection. When that trumpet sounds, God will raise the seed that was planted and instantly transform you into an amazing supernatural being fit for heaven. You were sown in dishonor. Think sin and death, as in these bodies wasting away, decay, maggots, worms, etc. But now, at the sound of the trumpet, you are raised to glory. You were sown in weakness. You may remember how weak you were when your body gave up and the nice men came over and took you to 217 East Depot Street in Colchester, better known to most of us as Jones Cemetery, or Jones Mortuary, rather. Possibly cancer finished you off, or maybe just old age. You were so weak that you couldn't get around, not even with your walker. Too weak to visit with those you love. Too weak to even eat. So you died. And after Pastor Dave gave you a real nice funeral, that is, if he has not already yet been planted on the north end of Colchester, your body was put in the ground in weakness. But when you hear that trumpet, my, oh my, when you hear that trumpet, you will be raised in power, the very same power with which God raised Christ from the dead. The Bible tells us all these things, and you had by this time probably learned much of it, if not all, somewhere along the way, but now it is your reality. Whoosh, twinkling of an eye, a new creation crafted by the mighty hand of God himself. Our old bodies, which were formed in the likeness of Adam, had gone back to the dust of the ground while waiting to be raised in spiritual bodies, which would be transformed into the likeness of Christ. And now that has happened. Divinely reconstructed at the blast of the trumpet, we now bear the image of the Son of God forever and are fully prepared and equipped for our entrance and inheritance in the kingdom of God. So we might ask why and even how can this happen? How has this happened? We died, but then are resurrected. How? And not just being raised to life, but being raised by God's power to eternal life, to his glory as a wonderful new creation. How? Here's how. Here is the foundation of these promises. It, our resurrection, has happened because of what Christ has done in our behalf. He died for our sins and was raised from the dead on the third day. Christ is our foundation, our salvation. A holy God had to make a way that he could accept us into his presence. Jesus Christ is that way. Again, you know these things as they are straight out of the Bible and you've sat in church all these years. 1 Corinthians 15:1. Now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures. Christ came to earth to die for our sins. It really is that simple. Christ is our foundation. He died for our sins and was raised on the third day. The gospel. We believe. We serve. We die. Then we wait for the trumpet to sound. Christ will resurrect those who have trusted in him. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 42. So is it with the resurrection? So is it with the resurrection of the dead? So it is. What is sown is perishable. What is raised is imperishable. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. This is talking about us, these physical bodies. We need to make that connection. There's not some allegorical concept floating around. It's these bodies were planted in the ground. If we die before Christ comes, if we're put in a casket, if we end up on the north end of Colchester, just to the north of Randy and Kelly's house, those bodies, sown in weakness, sown in dishonor, raised to God's glory, raised by the same power that he raised Jesus Christ and the day we're celebrating. Sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. If there is a natural body, there is also a spiritual body. Thus it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. But it is not the spiritual that is first, but the natural. This body's first. And then the resurrection body, the spiritual. And then the spiritual. The first man was from the earth, the man of dust. The second man is from heaven. As was the man of dust, so also are those who are of the dust. And as is the man of heaven, so also are those who are of heaven. Just as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the man of heaven. I tell you this, brothers, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall all be changed. For this perishable body must put on imperishable, and this mortal body must put on immortality. When the perishable puts on imperishable, and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. He will raise the dead in Christ first. The text we just looked at, it talks about we shall not all sleep. That's speaking of those who have died before us. It may be speaking of us one of these days if Christ has not come yet to meet us in the sky. He will raise the dead in Christ first. Those who are believers and alive at this time will meet him in the air. The Apostle Paul gives this account in his letter to the Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians 4:13. And now, dear brothers and sisters, we want you to know what will happen to the believers who have died, so you will not grieve like people who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and was raised to life again, we also believe that when Jesus returns, God will bring back with him the believers who have died. What that is speaking of, their bodies, remember, they were like seeds planted in the ground. Their souls will come with him. Their bodies, if the rapture would occur this afternoon, their bodies will raise from the grave before our bodies go to meet our Lord. See, just an editor's note here. Let's call it that. Editor's note. All of the things that I have been sharing are very clearly represented and taught in Scripture. There's nothing, in fact, I couldn't come up with stuff this good. All of these things are exactly what God is speaking to us, very clear in his word. And you'll notice Paul's repetition, especially through 1 Corinthians 15. These things will happen. This is reality. Yes, it's a reality beyond really our comprehension, but we can believe God for what he says he is going to do, even though we can't understand this whole package that he's going to bring with us. We tell you this directly from the Lord. We who are still living with when the Lord returns will not meet him ahead of those who have died. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a commanding shout, with the voice of the archangel and with the trumpet call of God. First, the believers who have died will rise from their graves. Then, together with them, we who are still alive and remain on the earth will be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Then we will be with the Lord forever. Stop and take a breath. Here is what you don't want to do. Don't get so involved, overly involved in the details that you miss the main point. Christ is going to return to earth for those who are his. Those who are his are those who have believed in him and received his gift of eternal life, redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. At whatever point we are in our life or death, here, or not to overdo it, but on the north end of Colchester, whatever point we are, our physical bodies will be raised and transformed into the likeness of our Savior. And that, Paul thought, calls for a victory proclamation, which is just what comes next in our text, 1 Corinthians 15:55. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. If you've trusted in Christ, you have the victory. We spoke of Friday the value of failure and the things that God can do with our failures. But we will never fall away from him. We have the victory in Christ. God will do everything. He has provided the way to do everything, to bring all of these promises to completion. So, we have the victory proclamation, and then we come to this therefore that we're familiar with, probably most of us at least, in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. Because of what the Lord has done for us through his resurrection and what he will do for us through our resurrection, Paul says, therefore, my beloved brothers, he says, be steadfast, be settled, firm. We are to be immovable, not to be moved from our place, unmoved, firmly persistent. I like that one. And we are to be abounding, exceeding, overflowing, excelling. The word means also in full bloom in the Lord's work. We must work until we can work no more because our labor is not in vain. Hebrews 6:10, for God is not unjust so as to overlook your work and the love you have shown for his name in serving the saints, as you still do. If you're familiar with some of the wisdom text in Ecclesiastes, you've heard the word the silver cord and the golden bowl. One day the silver cord will be snapped. The golden bowl will be broken, and our dust will return to the earth if the Lord tarries. We are dust. We will return to dust. But in the meantime, before the maggots and the worms take over, as we wait for that trumpet to sound, we work. We stand firm in the gospel. We wait with joyful expectancy for the appearing of our Lord and King. And then some necessary last remarks, some very difficult, necessary last remarks, some remarks that I will struggle getting through. The older I get, the closer I get to our Lord, the more the judgment passages shake me up. Everyone will be resurrected from the dead. But not everyone will be resurrected to the life that we have just described. What we have looked at so far is the resurrection of those who have trusted Christ for the forgiveness of sins and have received his gift of eternal life. The Bible calls that event the first resurrection. Revelation 20, verse 6. Blessed and holy is the one who shares in the first resurrection. Over such, the second death has no power, but they will be priests of God and of Christ, and they will reign with him for 1,000 years. But there is a second resurrection, and the second resurrection is a resurrection of judgment. Daniel 12:2, and many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, the first resurrection, but some to shame and everlasting contempt. Revelation chapter 20, verse 11, then I saw a great white throne and him who was seated on it. From his presence, earth and sky fled away, and no place was found for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. Then another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged by what was written in the books, according to what they had done. And the sea gave up the dead who were in it. Death and Hades gave up the dead who were in them, and they were judged, each one of them, according to what they had done. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. And that should shake us up, because it's true. Read the Bible truth is one thing. Have in our minds, in our hearts, those who we love and care for, and even if you don't know the person, to see God's human creation, the path that they are on, that seems so right to them, and the Proverbs tells us that path that seems right ends in death and destruction. Everyone who is standing before this great white throne is awaiting judgment. Their resulting punishment will be the lake of fire. I hope you've noticed that there is no middle ground, no purgatory, no last-minute pleas, no explanations before the pearly gates. Your fate is decided when you take your last breath on this earth. Those who have believed in Christ will be resurrected to an amazing life beyond their wildest dreams. Those who have not believed will be resurrected to an existence far beyond the most horror-stricken reality their minds could ever conceive. Robert Candlish shares these thoughts. If the matter at issue were some merely speculative and theoretical point of inquiry, if it were some minute and subtle question about the mode or manner of the future life, you could afford to sit loose to it and treat it lightly as one of those curious and debatable subjects in regard to which much may be said on both sides, and in regard to which it does not matter much which side you take. But the resurrection of the dead is not a topic of that sort. It is not such a piece of current news or idle gossip as one listens to with interest or amusement for a moment, but without caring to investigate or verify or retain it. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is pivotal to your eternal destiny and mine. It is not a matter for mere speculation or opinion or curiosity. It is not a matter for subtlety or amusement. It truly means life or death, heaven or hell. Now is the time. Today is the day for you to believe if you have not done that as yet. They lead to God for salvation. They lead before God for judgment. We won't have that time later after we take this last breath to explain to God and to speak of our good works. It will all be settled and done by that time. And Scripture tells us now is the time. Today is the day. I pray that each of us sitting here this morning know this and have this settled in our hearts, that we are right before our God, the Creator of the universe. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we do praise you for this day. Thank you for speaking to our hearts. Thank you for Christ's resurrection, the hope, the fountain that flows from that. In his name we pray. Amen.